I'm going to use both hands tonight, and I can't do it and hold this up here. I'm going to use my hands to preach tonight. Are you with me? Now, if you think the devil was made mad here Saturday night, and I read that letter from Eric, a so-called minister of the Satanic Church, threatening me and all my followers, shall I say the followers of the cross, the followers of Jesus, if you think the devil got mad when I accepted his challenge to war, well, that's nothing compared to what the devil's going to be tonight when I get through. Because I feel that tonight the devil's going to get madder than he's ever been before. And I'm going to do everything I can tonight to make him mad. And if you've got the least little bit of the devil in you, you're going to find it out tonight. You're going to get mad. Because I'm not going to pull any punches. And I'm not going to pat some people on the back just because they're sitting out there. And I'm not going to avoid certain subjects because somebody sitting out here might get offended. Preachers today everywhere are avoiding the issue. Avoiding any subject that's controversial. If there's somebody sitting in his congregation that's divorced and remarried, he dare not preach against divorce and remarriage. Somebody sitting out there won't like it, so he avoids the subject. There's some old saint sitting out there that don't believe in tithing. He doesn't want to offend her, so he avoids the subject. Got a bunch of cigarette smokers out there. He says nothing about smoking or dipping snuff because he don't want to offend anybody. You got a bunch of many-skirted, worldly, ungodly-looking people sitting out there. He avoids the short skirts and the miniskirts. Some of these green eyelids, because somebody will be offended. But if we're going to avoid the subject that will offend some folks, you might as well throw the Bible in the garbage can and go modern. Because in a congregation this large, you're bound to get a lot of mixed-up people that aren't going to like everything you preach. So I'm prepared to make the devil mad tonight. But everything I preach, I'm going to back up with the Bible. And I'm not going to avoid certain issues or certain subjects that may be controversial in this day and this hour. Preachers today nationwide boast that they never preach on anything that is controversial. Billy Graham himself confesses he never touches on anything that is controversial. But he also confesses he is having campaigns. People are making decisions for Christ, but he said, and I quote him, "I am not having revival." Why don't he? Why don't he have revival? He's got the crowds, he's got the people, but he's not having revival. God will not bless any preacher with old-fashioned, heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival when he avoids those subjects which are controversial that will draw fire or persecution. If you want to get along with people, preach about the other fellow. But I'm not preaching about the other fellow tonight. I'm going to preach on one of the most controversial subjects in the world tonight. But I better give you a Bible foundation. Jeremiah 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, spelled O-L-D, P-A-T-H-S, old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Don't talk about old paths to us. Come out here, Sister Pauline. Bill, get a picture of her. Oh, my God, I hope she don't come out here with a miniskirt on. Sister Taylor, come up here. I want a picture of you for my magazine. Now, Sister Taylor, you're really in the old, 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 old path. Get a picture of these two preachers. Now, I know some of you aren't going to like this. I want it to be full length. Don't just cut them off waist up. I want the skirts in. Well, some of you are with me, but some of you are not going to be with me very long. Say, you must have looked them over before you called them out here to get a picture of them. God bless you good. Aren't you getting quiet? What are some of you afraid of? Well, get your scarf out and put it over your knees. Get your coat out and cover up. I see you. I see you. That's all right. I told you some of you weren't going to like what I preached. But I am reading from the Word of God. Walk therein. What? The old paths. But they said, we'll not walk therein. Why? We have found a new path. If you walk in the old path, you'll not be too popular. We'll look old-fashioned. We don't want to look old-fashioned. Well, just tell the Lord that you refuse to walk in the old paths. You fuss this out with him, not with me. Verse 17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Now, this is modern-day church-going people. This is not only modern-day Pentecost. This is modern-day church people everywhere that have departed from the old paths and refused to walk therein, that refuse to listen to the sound of the trumpet and declare, we'll not listen. I'm not saying you have to listen, but you sure have to take the consequence. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among you. And tonight I'm going to tell you what's among the congregation. A bunch of modern-day so-called church-going people that won't listen to a sound of a trumpet and refuse to walk in the old paths. But hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You listening? I've quoted from Jeremiah 6, 16 through 19. A year ago, I warned the people nationwide that if the church fails, sects will take over. There is every evident sign that today in the so-called church, I'm not talking about the church. A lot of people mistake the real church from the so-called church. And just because somebody gives themselves a title, church, doesn't mean that it's a church. A church is a body of called out ones. So the Lord has a genuine church, a biblical scriptural church. But the devil has a bunch of people that call themselves a church that is not the biblical scriptural church. But a multitude of church-going people say, well, I belong to the church. They don't belong to the church. They belong to the devil. They're not living clean and godly and holy. They have found themselves new paths. My Bible says God's children are still walking in the old paths, and they're listening to the sound of the trumpet. I'm coming, sister. There is every evident sign in the so-called church that the devil is taking over and has got the fastest growing religion in the nation. And there is every evident sign that the so-called church has lost its influence in the world and no longer has power to influence people. And according to reports across the nation and worldwide, the so-called church, and I don't want to be identified with the so-called church. I want to stay with the old-fashioned group that's staying in the old past, that has the blessing and the touch and the anointing of God. And I never want to be called away. I never want to obey that call of the devil to come down or to find new paths. Because everyone that's deserted the old paths have found that their lives, their ministry is no longer fruitful, no longer powerful, no longer anointed, and no longer signs, wonders, and miracles follow their ministry. And only as we stick to God's old paths will God walk with us. Because God refuses to walk in the new modern path of modern ideas and non-modern methods. The recent Gallup poll and the survey, 58% of all church people surveyed absolutely confess that the church so-called in the world today no longer has any power to influence people toward the right. So the church, because it's gone into a new path, has no power to influence people or draw people in. So they're using new methods to attract people into the church. They say attract people to Jesus. Because the old Bible standards and the old Bible methods and God's ways are not sufficient. Are you listening? Listen to this. Religion, I'm just reading a few headlines and a few titles to newspaper articles or articles from current magazines and national and international. I haven't got time to read all this. It would take me 10 days. But listen to this. Religion was in during the 40s and 50s, but it's lost its steam in the 60s. In other words, the churches no longer have any fire, no longer any water, so they've lost their steam. There was a revival in the 40s and 50s, but now the church is dead. Listen to this. Church is dead, the priests declare. From the U.S. News and World Report, why churches are losing clergymen. Preachers, 5,000 are deserting the church and the ministry. Some of the larger denominations specifically mentioned here is the Baptist, the United Methodists, the Presbyterians, and the Catholics. Are you listening? For one example, the United Methodist Church is asking local congregations to contribute more money to train new ministers because there are only 33,000 clergymen available for 42,000 congregations. Altogether, statistics released by the National Association of Pastoral Renewal in September show the rate of priests' departure from the active ministry so far this year is up 31% over 1967. 31% more ministers are leaving the ministry. And 70% less people now are training for the ministry than in the past. So when you can't get ministers to train for the ministry, you can't get new ones. 70% less ministers in training to be preachers. More than 30% are leaving the ministry. That is that's around 100%. So if we can't get preachers to train for the ministry, 70% less say, I'm not interested in being a preacher. 30% of those that are preachers now are leaving the ministry to sell automobiles and insurance. That's a flat 100% less preachers in a very short while. Why? They're not interested in a cold, dead, dry religion that won't even support them financially. Most of the ministers declare they don't get enough money to live on for one reason. They can make more money doing anything else. And the majority of them leaving because they're so bound and so in bondage by denominational bondage. Man-made rules and regulations that they're not free to be the minister that God's called them to be. And they're leaving the ministers. Ministry, listen. Should the Pope retire? The Pope blasts rebel priests. Why? Because the Catholic priests are leaving the Catholic Church by the thousand, declaring they'll no longer be a priest. Never has there been a time when the Pope is so upset. Are you listening? Don't call me, Father, a Catholic priest. Pope Paul defends infallible dogma. You listening? 57% feel that religion has lost its influence. Fallen priests. Pope says the church is in a period of self-demolition. It's demolishing itself. Of course, he's talking about the Catholic Church because he's lost so many priests. And the Catholic nuns are leaving the nunneries by the thousand. There's never been a time when so many priests and so many nuns are denouncing the Catholic religion and saying the Pope don't know what he's talking about. Really, I'm surprised it took them so long to wake up. But it's not only in the Catholic Church. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the big denominations are crying and moaning and groaning. They can't get enough preachers to pastor fine churches that are everywhere. What is happening? God's doing something to wake the people up. Are you listening? The United States must listen to history or no hope, says a former pastor. Modern trends in religion cause Pope deep concern. So the leaders of churches are frustrated. Churches are colder and deader. Leaders don't know what to do. Pastors don't know what to do. The old time power of God and the blessing of God and the joy of the Lord is no longer present. They have let down the bars. The sheep run out and the goats have all come in. So the preacher is trying to feed the goats instead of the sheep. And instead of having sheep sitting in the congregation, all he has got is a bunch of goats that won't take sheep food. Sheep are a little particular what they chew. But a goat will eat anything. God said, feed my sheep. But when all you've got is a bunch of goats sitting out there, you got to be careful what you throw them. Churches are filled with church members that won't have the blessing of God or the power of God or the joy of the Lord, neither the Word of God. And when the preacher gets up to preach the truth and the congregation won't take it, you can't blame him for selling insurance and automobiles. So instead of preaching the Word of God for old-fashioned revival, they're trying to bring life back into the church, an ungodly, satanic, worldly way instead of God's way. Listen, no wonder, let me read you just a few clippings. The old South Church in Boston. And here's a picture of young people up and down the aisles doing the F-R-U-G. Is that the frug or the frug? Listen to this. CYO delegate parents participate in swinging mass. Ungodly, worldly musicians in the church. with swing music trying to put a little life in the church. A sax-tooting priest is packing them in with jazz music. Here's a picture of a bunch of nuns teaching each other to dance in the Catholic Church. New era Christians praise God with a dance, but it's not in the spirit. It's not in the spirit as David of old danced before the Lord. What is it? Well, the nuns are teaching each other dance steps. They've seen Gene on television. They've seen us on television. They've read it in the Bible. But they say nobody in our church dances, but it's in the Bible. Let's learn how to dance. So they don't have a Holy Ghost anointed pianist or organist that can play Holy Ghost music. So they have to get in the swing bunch, the rock and roll long-haired homosexuals, to play music in church so they can have something to dance by. Somebody shout. Here's a bunch of long-haired hippies dancing in the church. It's called Modern Dance at the Church Service. What is it? It's not God. It's the devil. It's not in the spirits. It's in the flesh. But pastors everywhere are encouraging it and permitting it and having paid musicians, ungodly, paid professional dancers come into the church to add some life to their cold, dead church services. Why don't they preach like we preach? Why don't they quote scriptures we do? Why don't they have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival and they'll not have to pay the long-haired homosexuals to come in and pray and sing folk music and guitar music? Shout yes! Yes! Why don't they go back to the old path? They found the new path. I'm glad, thank God, we're sticking to the old path. Hear me. It's in the Catholic Church. It's in the Protestant churches. Here's a picture of a Catholic church and a bunch of long-haired homosexuals. And here's the subject. Catholic Mass gives rock and roll a try. Another title. Beat Mass causes excitement in Rome. They're packing them in the Catholic churches in Rome with beat Mass music. Listen to this. Just a touch of jazz. The folk rock Mass. Catholic nun mixes modern music and scripture to produce a happy sound. Why don't they shout a little bit and make a happy sound? Hallelujah. So some of us are being introduced into the cold, dead, dry Catholic Church. Listen to this. New rules are sweeping. This comes from the Louisville Times. The Pope okays jazz music in sacred rites. What's this? Paid ungodly professional musicians coming into the sacred place of God, trying to put a little life in the church. Why? Because that deadhead organist sitting over there, old pipe organ, hasn't got enough of the joy of the Lord to put any joy in their music. The sinners and the ungodly professional musicians have got more joy than God's children or the cold, dead church members, so they're bringing in the sinners into the church to put a little joy and a little life in it. Why don't they pray through and have old-time revival, old-time Holy Ghost religion, like we do? The miniskirt and modern religion. Church parades a model in tights. Here's a shapely girl with long black tights on, just as tight as the skin, up on the platform. Can you imagine it? Right on the platform. This is at the St. Philip's Anglican Church. Shapely Claire Struwig displayed her curves in tights and a black sweater last night before the altar. And everybody sit there and watch that gal in tights. Why didn't she just take the tights off? You listening? Church is headed down a steep, slippery slope. Folk mass and jazz festival. Dancing in church? Is it blasphemy? Here's a girl on the platform. Micro mini skirted swan opal. foreground dances before the altar of Washington Cathedral, while the vagabonds, ungodly musicians, beat out a melody. Nearly 3,000 teenagers turned out for the cathedral rally. And here's a girl with not enough clothes on to wad a shotgun shell. Not enough clothes to clothe a jaybird. Are you listening to me? Can I go further? Can I go further? Listen to this. New British Bible has nude pictures. Have you seen the new Bible? Instead of Bible pictures, for the old Bible characters and the kind of clothes we have seen for years, they are all stripped naked. Can you imagine naked men and naked women, Bible characters in this new Bible? I said, if the church fails, sex is going to take over. And there's every evidence sign it's taken over because the church has refused to stay in the old-fashioned paths and insists on walking in the new modern way. And when God departs, you've got to do something to hold the people. And if you can't depend on the Spirit of God and the power of God and old-fashioned revival and the joy of the Lord and the reality of knowledge of sins forgiven, you got to do something. You can't sit in, can't preach to empty pews. You can't preach to empty seats. And preachers are doing everything they can to get people into their empty pews. But instead of resorting to old-fashioned heaven-sent, preach-down Holy Ghost revival like we do, they laugh at us. They mock at us, and they say God was not in the wind. God was not in the whirlwind. God was not in the thunder. God was not in the lightning. God was not in the fire. He was in the still, small voice. So most of them, and I'm talking about Pentecostal preachers, have condemned these kind of meetings down through the years until God has departed and God won't even move in their services. Of them, and I'm talking about Pentecostal preachers, have condemned these kind of meetings down through the years until God has departed and God won't even move in their services. Listen to this. Look at this. Here's a picture of pastors and young people sitting in a church bar. The pastors are teaching the young people how to drink liquor. Sister Taylor, look at this. The title, Pastor Installs Bar in Church to Teach Youth to Drink. They serve beer, wine, and whiskey and other liquors to girls and boys between 18 and 21. This is the Reverend Paul Johnson. Delivers a sermon on drinking. The youth of his parish really dig him. Because twice a week, Reverend sits at the bar in the church. Is this the church? Is this the church? This is the new path. Some of you say, well, we'll never get on the new path, Brother Allen. We're going to stay on the old path. Some of you on this new path so tight you'll never get on an old path. May I read you something else? This is from the World Council of Churches. A new songbook titled, New Hymns for a New Day. Here's the song in one of the hymn books. May I quote it? New Hymns for a New Day. The World Council of Churches. Does your church belong to this group of churches? The Methodist Church does. That's why I preach against it. The Presbyterian does. Congregationalists, I can name them all.
He said, I don't think you ought to say anything about
that. All right, I'll read you one of their hymns. It was a Friday morning that they took me from the cell. And I saw they had a carpenter to crucify as well. Talking about Jesus. You can blame it on the Pilate. You can blame it on the Jews. You can blame it on the devil, but it's God I accuse. You can blame it on the Adam and you can blame it on the Eve. You can blame it on the apple. But that I can't believe. It was God that made the devil and the woman and the man. There wouldn't have been an apple if it wasn't in the plan. Now Barabbas was a killer and they let Barabbas go. But you're being crucified for nothing here below. But God is up in heaven and he doesn't do a thing. Referring to God not helping Jesus. He doesn't do a thing with a million angels watching. They never move a wing. To hell with Jehovah. To the carpenter I said, I wish that a carpenter had made this world instead. Goodbye and good luck to you. Our way will soon divide. Remember me in heaven, the man you hung beside. The chorus, it's God they ought to crucify instead of you and me. I said to the carpenter, a-hanging on the tree. The World Council of Churches songbook. To hell with God. You listening? I'm going to shock you. This is the front cover of a national newspaper. 3-4 big words. Salvation through sex and sin. An ex-burlesque stripper is starting a wild new religious movement. And she has named herself Sister Marlene. And she vows, I'm going to shake up the world, baby. A harlot, a sinner, a strip teaser has started a new religion and she can't take care of the thousands that's crowding around her to get saved by sinning. I said, if the church fails, sex is going to take over, and there's every evidence sign it's taking over. And here's the picture of Sister Marlene. Why did she call herself Sister? It sounds religious. She's got a skirt on that don't even cover her bottom, if I can say that in public. I want you to look at this. Ex-stripper goes on world crusade preaching. Salvation through sex and sin. Here's a picture of her in the nude. The evangelist. They call her an evangelist. Listen to this now. Well, if the churches won't have an evangelist, don't you think the devil's not going to give the world one? And since the church won't give an evangelist and don't believe an evangelist no longer. The devil has certainly given the world some evangelists. And these are calling themselves evangelists. The evangelist is often accompanied in her crusade by her pet pigeon, Boo Boo. Here is a picture of her in Washington Square Park in New York City. Are you listening? Thousands are gathered around her. A crowd gathers at New York's Washington Square Park to hear the word. Not the Bible, but what she says. Here she is in a picture in the nude. I've always, she says, been proud of my body, says Sister Marlene, who has been a model for top artists and photographers. And here she is all reared back. Sister Marlene told the Star Chronicle about her unorthodox philosophy during an exclusive interview. And there she is with... Brother, tell him what she's got on here, this evangelist.
She hasn't got enough on the water shotgun to make a mosquito wrestling jacket. She hasn't got as much on as most people wear to the shower.
Are you listening? Let me quote her words. Here's what she's preaching. We shouldn't be afraid of breaking what the preachers call God's law. He's a fun-loving God. Or getting to heaven wouldn't be worth it. Let's not suppress sin. Let's get it out in the open. We're all sinners, so why don't we admit it and make the most of it? Here's the devil evangelist. I said Satan's evangelist. But if God's evangelists are going to find themselves new paths and refuse to preach the old-time paths and the power of God, the devil's going to raise up evangelists, and the multitudes declare they're going to get to heaven through sin and sex. Following the devil and the devil's methods. God have mercy on you evangelists that haven't got enough guts to preach the truth. I quote this girl from Washington Square where thousands gather to hear her. She says, and I quote, God isn't a sadist. He loves you sinners. How can anyone enjoy the pleasures of heaven if he hasn't experienced the pleasures here on earth? Speaketh a former burlesque stripper who recently started what she calls a religious movement to save the world. Because she said the church hasn't done it. The church hasn't done it with its cold, dead, dry modernism. But she says, I'm going to save the world through sex and sin. A tall, raven-haired female with otherworldly physical proportion. Don't think she hasn't got them. Listen to this. She adopted the name Sister Marlene, believing that the human race needs more love and more laughter. She intends to travel throughout the world, wherever sinners exist, and provide both of these commodities. Listen to this. Officially, Sister Marlene's crusade opened here in October the 27th in New York City's Washington Square Park. As onlookers cheered the voluptuous, that means buxom, breasty, chesty, is that the word? Evangelist, they call her, mounted a stage to conduct her version of a religious service. Are you listening? Wearing a low-cut blouse and a thigh high. Where's your thigh at? Where's your thigh? Well, I have a picture of it, but I wouldn't want some of you to see it. A skirt up to her thighs, calling herself an evangelist, a miniskirt. Sister Marlene led the congregation, listen to this, in hymn singing accompanied by folk singing, guitars and tambourines, and she preached. Said what? I advocate sinning openly. God wouldn't have given us bodies if he didn't want us to use them. There's too much empty religion in the world and not enough real faith. She's got something here. She's got something here. Run-of-the-mill preachers keep talking about getting to heaven through the pearly gates. Well, I say there's a back door to heaven, too. We sinners can use it, and God will welcome us. Other people preach fear and guilt. If anything is obscene, that is. I believe that folks should stop fighting and arguing and start making love with each other. Maybe then there wouldn't be any wars. And as their audience watched in awe, some stunned, others nearly beside themselves with religious fervor, and a few outraged at Sister Marlene's unorthodox receipt for salvation, the busty beauty closed out her save-in, as she termed it, by saying, are you listening? She said, it's time a female saved the world. The Lord's been good to me. You can see it. There she is, showing everybody how good God's been to her. Don't you think that people won't go for this? The Lord's been good to me. You can see it. And I want to repay him. I'm going to take over all your problems. I'm going to take all your problems to my bosom and sleep in them. And sleep on them. A new day, a few days later, Sister Marlene met with the Star Chronicle for an exclusive interview, and the overwhelmingly beautiful, as we found her, the most striking quality of this young woman is her directness, her sincerity, and the confidence she has that her word is true and valid for all people. Some of what I preach may sound like put on, she said. May I read a little more? But I mean every word. I can't stand hypocrisy. People naturally want to have sex and be free to drink and gamble if that's to their liking. The state should not legislate morality. Rather, if anything, the government should legalize such things as gambling and prostitution and charge a sin tax. That way everyone would have fun and the proceeds could go toward building roads and relieving poverty. She says further, everyone sins. Those who are in high government positions. Preachers sin. Clergymen sin. Priests sin. Everyone sins. But unfortunately, the moralists do it in private and condemn those who sin publicly. But in my opinion, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. What? They should get stoned and have some fun. Have I read enough? I'm not through. I want you to compare that. I want you to compare these pictures with this strip teaser. Hold this. I want you young people to see this. Now I'm going to pull out a Methodist pastor. In the Methodist Church, they call her Mrs. Marjorie Janney, a Methodist pastor's wife. And here's a picture of her. She doesn't have as much clothes on as this harlot here in this newspaper. But she says she's packing them in the church. So why complain? There she is.
The sin and the shame.
Sister Marlene, read the headline.
cool off. I'm filling the church, so why complain?
The minister's ministered wife hits back at the gossips. May I read just a little bit of it? Here is a picture of her at 5 o'clock in the morning with a 17-year-old boy, sharing the fun of these said kids, miniskirted Methodist wife. She says she's packing them into the Methodist church and said, why should people gossip about her? She said, I'm filling the church. Why don't they leave me alone? I'm not sure she's filling the church. I would call it a brothel. And in plain language, I would call it a whorehouse. Can I talk like this in church? Why? They do three things in this Methodist place. They talk only about sex and about the pill and about premarital relations. She said, you'd be surprised what I believe about premarital relations. She said, I see nothing wrong, and I advocate it and encourage young people having sex relations with each other if it's with the right person at the right time. So 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning in this Methodist match, packed with teenagers doing what? Well, she said it's much cheaper than sending them to a motel or a hotel. Said it's decent if they do it in church. Listen to me. I'm through in a moment. What am I trying to get at? This is a new path. The prophet of God said, you'd better get back on the old path. But they said, we will not walk therein. God said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we are not going to listen to no sound of a trumpet. So instead of old-fashioned Bible preaching, old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival to bring people into the church, instead of expecting that the Spirit of God, an answer to prayer, will bring people into the church, what or how are they getting them in? Liquor. Sex. I'm not talking about Washington Square now. The burlesque queen that started a new religion, salvation through sex and sin. I'm talking about the Methodist Church. This is the reason why I come out of the Methodist Church 30 years ago. God have mercy on them that draw back and go back. Say something. Look at this gal. Methodist pastors. Have you seen this, sister? That's her. This is what they do at 5 o'clock in the morning. This. Now that's church. Well, she says, I'm packing them in the church. Well, I said, that gal could pack them in a burlesque show. It didn't cost anything to get in. All you'd have to do is put this picture out on the front. Any theater, downtown section, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, anywhere. Put her picture. The Methodist pastor, and the pastor has no objection. Said there hadn't been a bit of criticism of this woman. You know what she's wearing in church? Who could do this without embarrassing the people? Could you, Don? You couldn't. Well, Cunningham can. Stand up here and tell the people what you can't all see this, but you'll find it in Miracle Magazine. I don't even know whether we ought to put that in Miracle Magazine. Be partaker of their sins. Can you describe what she's wearing here in church?
Well, actually, it's not much more than two Band-Aids. Her breasts are 97% exposed, just hanging out of a little old just a piece of cloth. If you walk down the street, I've walked down the street in Los Angeles, and I've seen lots of pictures that weren't that the burlesque queens had more on than this woman's got, this pastor's wife. She just hasn't got enough clothes on to come out of the bedroom.
This is Brother Don Walker.
Brother Allen, I misunderstood what you meant. I just told Brother Davis, I said, you know, I appreciate this kind of preaching because I've got four little girls that are growing up, and if somebody don't take a stand like this, I'm afraid for my little girls. I'm afraid for my girls. This young lady has nothing but what is known as spaghetti straps, and that's about all that she's got over the top, and you can't see anything on the bottom.
Where?
In church? No, not in church. This isn't the church. This is not the church.
It's about time some of us wake up.
And if I don't preach it, who's going to? And sometimes when we remain silent on a thing, it means that we stamp our approval upon a thing because we don't voice anything against it. She said, I'm packing them in. Packing them in what? Where? She's not packing them in the church. She'd pack them in a burlesque show. They're not going there to hear about Christ. They're not going there to be washed in the blood of Jesus or to get saved or to be filled with the Holy Ghost for the joy of the Lord. They're going there because sex is free. And they don't have to go to a hotel or a motel to do it. Because it is decent, because it's done in church. Come in. Here's a young evangelist from High Point, South North Carolina. A church there that cost $7 million of the same denomination, the Methodists. Tell them what it's like.
The Sunday morning service starts out with, in the morning, everyone comes to church before the Sunday service, and it starts out with the what is known as the before drinks, or just regular drinks. And then they have two different services, and while one group is going in for the Sunday morning service, the other group is going into different bars for lectures on different types of sex. It ranges in from obscenity and from premarital sex and to different things of this sort. When the other group comes out of the auditorium, then they in turn go and into the church cafeteria for dinner. And then after this, it's to the amusement. And the young people during all this time is having different amusement. There's rooms for it. There's bars. There's bowling alleys. There's different things of this sort. And then there's regular lectures on the subject of your choice. And then at night when the service is brought forth at around 6:30, all the people come together for the chapel service. Then after the chapel service, everyone goes to their different places. The adults go to the bars, and the young people go to their socializing and have their parties every Sunday night after the service.
Can I have five more minutes? If somebody don't condemn this and say something about it. I believe we need, as I said the second night of this meeting, let the people know whose side we're on. Listen to this. A biker is no kicker. He welcomes women into his church with no tops on. Have you ever driven down the main streets in the big cities these days and see the big sign, Go-Go Girls, topless? That means they don't wear anything up here. Don't you tell me it's not getting in the churches? I quote, the vicar of the Church of England's parish at Mudford, population and so forth, said Saturday women wearing topless dresses would be as welcome as anyone else at my church services. Got what? This fella's got a devil of his own. He wants the women to come in his church naked. The human body, he says, is something good and beautiful, just as all of God's gifts are like the air and the sea. The Reverend, why does he call himself Reverend? E. Douglas White
told the newspaper, I would not turn any woman away because she was wearing a topless dress. Come in with just something from the waist down and her breasts bare. Say, is that getting in the church? That is not in the church. They are lying. They're just calling it a church. That's not the church. And it's about time we condemn it and declare it is of the devil. And if we don't, people everywhere are going to say, well, they're doing it over at this church. Why can't I do it in this church? That's not the church. Listen, the Reverend White is a bachelor. He says the attitude shared by some people make it appear almost as if parts of the human body are evil. He said, restricted practices in clothing can hamper the fullness of life. So come to church naked. And he said, if you come to church without any clothes on, we welcome you in our congregation, especially the women. May I read you one more article? A new film put out by the National Council of Churches called A Ministerial Striptease. And it is being shown in all the churches of the National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, including, listen, a new film is being shown at the World Council of Churches Assembly, now being held in Sweden. It portrays a Protestant minister conducting a worship service in which he removes all his clothes. This is on a film, a movie, and it's coming to the Methodist churches. A new film put out by the National Council of Churches called A Ministerial Striptease. And it is being shown in all the churches of the National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, including, listen, a new film is being shown at the World Council of Churches Assembly, now being held in Sweden. It portrays a Protestant minister conducting a worship service in which he removes all his clothes. This is on a film, a movie, and it's coming to the Methodist churches, the Presbyterian churches. It's coming to all the churches that belong to the World Council of Churches. That's why I'm against it. The film was commissioned by the council and paid for in part by five Protestant denominations. Reportedly, it is scheduled to be distributed to churches in the United States after its premiere in Sweden. The movie revolves around the worship service with conscious and unconscious perceptions by both the minister and his congregation. What had flashed across the screen. The minister's removing of his clothes at the end symbolizes the stripping away of barriers between people, which the film suggests is necessary to a proper understanding of both God and man. The idea of strippers moving into the church may, understandably, be shocking to a good many people, but fundamentally, the idea is not so shocking as it is pathetic. Many Protestant churches in America have been floundering in their attempts to equate man to the universe during this tumbling, chaotic age of technological invocation. The striptease may not be the extreme and bumbling, but it is approaching that point. So it is felt in this film, listen, that nudity helps in stripping away barriers between people. Well, nudity is nothing new in the human race. In the hot belt around the earth's middle, people have been practically practicing nudity from the beginning, and there is no evidence that the practice has produced spiritual uplift. In that belt, there has been just as much in the way of wars, violence, and so forth. And this writer says, the point is that the weakness and the evils in man's nature are not going to be changed by the taking off of clothes. Even ungodly newspapers are condemning it. stripping a minister to the buff, to the skin, to the raw, therefore is a gimmick, a ludicrous.
Spiritual purpose. So when a church goes stale, goes dead, they serve beer, wine, and whiskey and other liquors to girls and boys between 18 and 21. This is the Reverend Paul Johnson. He delivers a sermon on drinking. The youth of the churches. That's why I preach against it. So when a church goes stale, goes dead, backslide, no longer believe in the old paths, the old-fashioned way, they have to look to new methods. Which is not God's method. What's wrong with the Bible? You mean to tell me that God didn't see our need in this day and this hour and didn't provide the instructions in the Bible whereby we could convert and save the world? You mean that God couldn't see this far? That God's methods now, the Bible, no longer work and we have to have new methods? May I quote from a magazine? A monthly periodical put out by a preacher who at one time used to be Pentecostal. Now has gone back into a denomination. The one that I mentioned briefly a moment ago. Was on television for many years preaching and praying for the sick. But in his own magazine this month, he says, in the spring of 1967, after 13 years of nationwide telecast, the Lord told, let me see that phase of our television ministry was ending. No more preaching, no more praying for the sick. It's over. So he said, I went off of television and I waited until God told me what to do about a new telecast. Now his magazine talks about a new telecast. I'm reading his magazine. And he says, and I quote, he said, we are going to be able to bring an in-depth deliverance ministry to the nation. A deliverance ministry that has depth. Now here's the depth. I quote, I know you're going to be blessed by it. That is the new TV program. I'm sure, too, that many of you will be inspired by the new program, its new format, and its new concept. You, my partners, know that I have never been dedicated to any one method. I am dedicated to Jesus, and we have been willing to change methods when we have seen that the old ones, when we see that the old ones, the old methods, were no longer effective. So when the old methods are no longer effective, we've always been able to find a new method. So he says, we must be willing to use new forms and new methods to reach the people. The old methods don't work. Let's use a new method. Here's a picture of his choir singing on the new TV program. I wouldn't have them on my platform. If you don't like what I'm saying, God have mercy on you. If the girls had robes on, it would be too old-fashioned. It'd have to be longer robes. The skirts on all these young girls are high above their knees. Way up to there. Practically mini skirts. You want to see them? There they are. Hollywood. A Hollywood production. Every girl has a skirt on the same length. My God, way up to there. What's this? Is this for Jesus? What does the Bible say about wearing modest apparel? Are you listening? Channel 13 in Los Angeles carries Miracle Today, the Allen Revival telecast. Describing this new TV program says, and I'm quoting him word for word, and nobody dug it out of him. His name is Danny. I got this from our TV and radio man who pays and buys all our time. But the program director at Channel 13 Los Angeles says, it recently seen an audition print of the new show, which is a special one-hour program. It's completely different. They're going to start nationwide in mid-March. Danny said he had quoted from 10 to 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning at $1,200 for half-hour broadcast. And this is what Danny said describing this program. It means somebody's found a new path. Left the old path. God said, go back to the old path. Said, we'll not walk there, and we've got to have new methods and new means to reach the people that are changing. So preachers are trying to change to fit into the worldly program instead of trying to change the world to fit into God's program. Here's the quote from Danny. The new show is very fine, well produced. He's not a preacher as such in this show. He has a young group of young singers. He's obviously trying to attract the young married. His son is on the show. Is wearing certain types of custom-made clothes. I don't care what he's telling me what it costs, but that's not my problem here. The man has a new hairstyle. I'm not complaining about that. Making style the hairs that please. But listen, the preaching is more like a story rather than preaching the gospel, but further. This particular program has Mahalia Jackson as a guest. They apparently have a choreographer probably working with the singers on their movements to see that everything is just swinging just right, Hollywood style. They have the Ralph Carmichael Orchestra for background music. It is artistically done. Are you listening? In other words, there is nothing to offend 125 million denominational church people, declaring that it will no doubt be supported, as there's nothing controversial that people can disagree with. And when people find nothing to disagree with, they'll support it. I'm almost through. Now you may ask me a question. Right in there. Who are you condemning? I'm condemning nobody. I'm condemning this new path. But God says, where is the good way? And walk therein, and stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we've got to have new paths. We've got to have new methods. Is that what God said? Didn't God say the old path was enough?
They said, we'll not walk on the old paths. Then if they won't walk on the old paths, they'll have to walk the new paths without God. Without God. I don't care what they say about Jesus and how they feel the blessing of God and the Spirit of God. As long as they're in a new path and out of the old path, they're walking alone. Said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. And I set a watchman over you, hearken to the sound. They said, we'll not hearken. God said, therefore, hear you nations and know, congregation, what's among you. Listen to this. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor to my law, but they have rejected it. And if we won't have old-time religion, old-time salvation, Holy Ghost heartfelt revival, in other words, if the church don't want this, God is going to let the devil take over. The fastest growing religion in the world today is what? Church without Satan. Now comes this new fast religion. Salvation by sex and sin. Everybody in the church, she says, is sinning anyway. Including clergymen, priests, and ministers. So if they don't want God, if you won't have old-fashioned heaven-sent revival, you don't want the old path, are we going to take the new path? This is my heart. I'm going to pour it out to everybody here. Listen. Listen, Mangum. Listen, Jimmy. Our workers. Listen. Sister Taylor and Pauline and I and some of our preachers and workers sat in the dark room down in the TV department yesterday. I previewed some film, which we may show you one in a few moments, if you'd like to see it, would you? And as that film was projected on that screen, some new films that haven't gone out to our TV stations, I knew all this, getting ready to preach it tonight for some time. And I saw Don come up here under the tent in Philadelphia and Greensboro. He began to make the opening. Thousands of people from far and wide and people of all denominations come under this great tent, integrated for all people of all churches, worldwide in scope and so on and so forth. People are healed. Thousands are saved. Multitudes are filled with the Holy Ghost. And Brother Bill had pictures while Don made the opening of thousands of people under that tent. Thousands tending outside. When he said thousands are saved, all the aisles under that tent, people streaming down, not by the hundreds, but by the thousands to get saved. That people are blessed. And here's Brother Grant's brother in the Dallas meeting, dancing in the Spirit on the platform. Real sweet. People getting healed and jumping out of wheelchairs. I watched it. I introduced Gene. Gene got up and led the choir. They sung Christ is the answer. They sung glory, glory, hallelujah. Up above my head I hear music in the air. People sang, my Lord, how they sung. Black and white together, integrated. Everyone so happy and filled with joy, clapping their hands and singing their hearts out. God's blessing and the power of God falling under that great tent on that platform. The devil said to me, that's old-fashioned. That's old-fashioned, Alan. That's why some TV stations won't sell you time for your program. Too old
confession. Preaching a sermon on Judas. Hell's fire and brimstone. That God is a killer. Preaching the judgment, the fear, and the wrath of Almighty God. Preaching against sin. Preaching holiness. Bill, while I viewed that film yesterday, we watched three of them. I didn't have time, but I took time. The devil said, why don't you change your program? And if you change the whole thing and go to new methods, new formats, new programs, you wouldn't have any time buying television time on the stations. And I'd sit there and I watched it and I thought, Jesus, are we going to stick to the old paths? Are we going to stick to this old-fashioned word of God and holiness and preaching? Are we going to stay with the old paths, holiness and righteousness, God's blessing and God's power? Are we going to resort to new methods? You'd be surprised how the devil talks to me at times, too. Sometimes I listen. Sometimes it comes through other preachers. Satan speaks to people. Hey, Alan, you got too many colored people in the choir. Why don't you get David off of the... that organ. I watched that. I'm going to show you one tonight. I watched David here kicking them pedals and playing that music. My God, I got so sad. I watched the cutaway of this young, long-legged David. Bless his heart. He's the son of Brother Sister Mangum, the sweetest boy ever worked with us. So happy. Praising Jesus on these cymbals and on these drums. I looked at the cutaways of Richard playing this piano. I listened. Said if you change the whole thing, throw all these old film away and start something new. Get me a bunch of girls with skirts up here. Produce a Hollywood production, something that nobody will get mad at, something that's not controversial, something every sinner and backslider will like. They'll support it. I said, God, I'm going to stick to the old paths. And hear me. The reason preachers and evangelists have gotten down over on the new path, they say they'll get better support and more support if they're not old-fashioned and don't preach so much against sin and the judgment of God and don't preach so much holiness. Because people will support that, which they is not controversial. Bill, while I watched that, I prayed. God spoke to me. But let's stick to the old paths. I'm going to give you men and I'm going to give you women that'll support this work and this gospel. Those that have gone to the new paths and to the bypaths may have more money. They may give larger amounts. Why should we waste our time, our effort, our money, trying to produce something that the devil likes and won't even make the devil mad? Preachers, God spoke to me and said, son, yours is the only telecast left in the nation. It's still in the old path. Still the old-fashioned blessing. Joy of the Lord, the power of God, salvation for the soul and holiness and healing and the miraculous and the gifts of the Spirit. God said, if you'll stick in the old path, I'm going to give you people you've never had before to support this work and stand behind you You don't have to find a new format or a new modern way to get support. God's going to move across the nation. Shout yes.
Let's stand together.
Awaken thou that sleepest, and yea, thou that hast been asleep, open thine eyes, and get the dew out of them. And let thine ears be taken out of the wax out of them, and hearken unto the words that I have shown thee and spoken unto thee through my servant this night. For lo, I, the Lord, am very displeased with what is happening in this day and this hour. But I, the Lord, have called a church out of a church, and am calling a church even now out of what calls itself a church. For lo, many have been deceived, and many have been led astray by strange spirits, and many have hearkened unto strange spirits, which be demons themselves. Lo, they have spoken soothing and flattering words unto many whom I have called in the early days. And they have spoken many soothing and flattering words unto those who call themselves my shepherds. And they have tried to show them new paths, and they have tried to show them new ways, and they have tried to flatter my people. And lo, many of my spemiachere, many of those who were called by me, have been led astray unto strange ways. They have been deceived into thinking, yea, that which these false prophets have said is true and from me. But I, the Lord God, do speak unto thee even now, that I, the Lord, am still a God of holiness. I am still a God of sanctification. I am still a God that requires my people to live a pure and a holy life. And I, the Lord God, am still looking for a people that will serve me with their mind and their heart. And I, the Lord, have shown thee this day. For many of thee have hearkened thine ears and been deceived, and many of thee have been turned aside in thy thoughts, and thought, yea, maybe I shall compromise, and maybe, yea, I shall give in but a little bit. For lo, it be no sin to do that, and it be no sin to make up my face, and it be no sin to do thus and thus. But I, the Father of heaven and earth, yea, the Almighty that didst make thee in the way that I didst want thee to walk, and I have not changed my ways from the early precepts. Yea, when I said, be ye holy as I am holy, I have not changed even now in this day. When I said, walk ye and before me in all holiness, I am not changed in this day. When I said, consecrate and present your bodies as a living sacrifice, I have not changed even in this day. And lo, I say unto thee even now, consecrate yourselves again, and be not partakers of the things of this world. Be not partakers of the things that have deceived even some that were called in the early days. Be ye not deceived by the false prophets. Be ye not deceived by the false shepherds. Be ye not deceived by those that make a mockery out of my churches. And yea, I, the Lord, shall call out a people. For lo, I am even now calling them out. And I, the Lord, shall do mighty things. And I speak again unto my son this night. Lo, I say unto thee, Asa Allen, be not deceived, even as thou art not. And be thou not confused, and neither let the flattery of men turn thee aside. Neither let the smooth words make thee to turn from one way. For I, the Lord, have showed thee a path, and I, the Lord, shall give thee great results. For lo, I am still calling out the church. Thou should lead my church out of even a church. And I shall even call new shepherds, and new shepherds shall lead my sheep out of bondage. And they shall take them out into true holiness, into true beauty, into true joy, into true peace, into true deliverance, into true satisfaction. And my church that I call out shall be a people of beauty, a people of holiness, a people of power, a people that I, the Lord, may manifest myself through. And I, the Lord, shall do great things through this church. And I shall prove that these false shepherds be yea, even sons of Beelzebub. And I shall prove that these that make a mockery of the things which are holy be sons of Beelzebub and filled even with his spirit. And I, the Lord, shall prove who are my people and who be strong and who be powerful and who be mighty and who be holy. And I shall prove who I am, that I, the Lord Jehovah, still reign and am still able to save and deliver. Therefore, this night, turn not aside, my people, neither be deceived. And thou who hast hearkened thine ears unto the smooth words, turn back into the path that I showed thee in the first days of thy salvation. Turn thou back into the first joys that thou didst know. Turn thou back into the straight ways, for they are my ways. And I am thy God when thou dost walk therein. Turn ye back, and turn not aside unto the filthiness of this world. Be not deceived, for I am not mocked. And I, the Lord God, shall wreak vengeance upon those that are deceived and who do mock my name. And I shall prove that I am Jehovah, the Lord Almighty, and the God of heaven and earth, and the mighty deliverer of my church, even out of the filth of the church that is the Madadamaya, now in thy midst. Behold, I, Jehovah. My name, and I shall prove that I am Jehovah, the Lord Almighty, and the God of heaven and earth, and the mighty deliverer of my church, even out of the filth of the church that is the Madadamaya, now in thy midst. Behold, I, Jehovah, am ready to do a great thing. And I shall do a great thing through my church that I shall deliver and bring out. Thou art part of it. Prepare thou and consecrate that I may use even thee.
Well, surely the Lord speaketh unto thee this night, my people. Yea, hearken not to the voice of the enemy, for I say unto thee, yea, that the enemy hath come into the land, even a strong spirit, even a perverse spirit, yea, a spirit of lust and of iniquity, yea, that abound throughout the land. But I say unto thee, my people, hearken well to my voice. Yea, and unto thee, my servant, I say, hearken well to the word of the Lord. For I say unto thee, yea, they that be of thee shall build again the waste places, yea, and the desolations of many generations. Yea, they that be of thee shall be called the restorer of breaches, and the restorer of paths that dwell in, saith the Lord. For even the Lord thy God hath raised thee up for this hour and for this day, yea, that thou shouldest build again the waste places. And I say unto thee, yea, seek ye and search ye out the old paths, and walk ye in the paths of righteousness. Yea, and the Lord thy God return again the captivity of his people. For I say unto thee, I have promised thee revival. I have promised thee a visitation. I have promised thee the outpouring of my spirit. Oh, and surely it shall come. Yea, it is upon thee. Yea, but stand fast, saith the Lord, in that which I have given unto thee. Lest the enemy come unto thee and take thy crown. Oh, take heed, my people, for the enemy would deceive thee. Therefore I say unto thee, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and put thy hands to the task, yea, and raise up the waste places, and restore the paths that dwell in, saith the Lord, and know that I am with thee. Yea, and thy hands shall not be hindered, yea, and neither shalt thou be kept from doing even that which is in thine heart. Therefore, my son, arise and know, yea, even in all confidence shalt thou go, yea, and shalt thou conduct thy war, yea, against ungodliness and against satanic forces and influences in the land. And I will be with thee, and I will give thee the victory, saith the Lord.
To another.
from one Plato to another, from one realm of the Spirit into another, and given thee wisdom to lead my people. Yea, for as thou hast led them, yea, thou hast brought them out of a weary and a desolate land. Thou art still those that are crying for the man that will stand in the gap and will make up the hedge and will dare not take down. And son, even as I have required much of thee, I shall give thee hands that shall hold thine hands up, even as Hur and Aaron held up the hands of Moses, my son. I will give thee men and daughters, yea, a Messiah from every clime, from every race, from every tribe, yea, that shall call thee blessed and shall make known my glory throughout the world because of the stand that thou hast taken. And I would say that even this night, put thy foot forward, and whatsoever thou shalt speak, thou shalt have it. Just as came on Simeah, thou shalt only speak it, and thou shalt believe it as thou hast in the past, and thou shalt receive it, and men shall give unto thy bosom, that thou mayest go forth with this that I have placed in thine heart in this night time to do for me, saith God. Words tonight that we old timers, how many figure that you're one of the old timers that know about the old way? Yes. If you're an old timer and you care which way the church is going. You've wept many nights that God wouldn't let all of the men depart from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Listen, friend, tonight, I don't know how you feel, but I am more than ready and willing to take my stand for the old-fashioned way. Hallelujah. It is time that we come out and be identified with the truth. That we be identified with the truth. That we forget the works of Satan. We forget the malicious gossip of the devil. And we put our shoulders to the wheel. And we, amen, back this ministry of restoration for body, mind, and soul. And for the ingathering of God's people from every race and every creed. I thank God for it. I thank God for the fellowship that I've been able to have in the last few years with this great work. I have been watching it. I have been prayerfully praying that God would see that His work would go forth. Amen? And friends, as we've watched it grow, and as we've watched everything that's attached theirself to this work, every church, take ours, for instance, in Detroit. Take others across the nation that were born because this ministry came to town. And folks, I don't know a place anywhere you can step your foot in and see God moving in the abundance that He's moving in the city of Detroit. I mean all over the city, coming from one church or another that has had the touch of this ministry on the church. And I thank God that it's been my privilege at last to come to Miracle Valley. And I want to say that there's something in this fellowship that you don't find across the nation tonight. I remember the day when we had this kind of fellowship. I remember the day when I sat on the platform and there was no big eyes and no little U's. I remember the day when you were just brethren and sisters in the Lord. I remember the day that we were so proud to walk on the old campground, whether we had a bonnet on or whether we had a fine suit on. Those days are gone. You can't hardly find a place now that you can walk in just as you come from the field if you don't have finery, and come into a place and feel the love of God flowing from heart to heart. If this world is ever saved, it's going to be through the love of God's people. We cannot have it in the congregation if we don't have it in the pulpit. We've got a leader before us tonight that is manifesting to us that there is no difference in mankind, that we're all born to serve God, and that we must live and let live. Let's clap our hands tonight for the glory of God. There's not a thing I can add to what Brother Allen's preached tonight. And I realize that my voice no doubt will be heard across the nation. But I'll tell you, I've never been one to take down if I felt God was in something. And I believe tonight that God is moving in a new move like He's never moved. But it's certainly not in the new fashions that you've been hearing preached tonight. It's in the old-fashioned blood route way. And I am for it.
Raise your hands and let's thank God for pastors like Sister Allie Taylor from Detroit, Pastors Lighthouse Tabernacle. Stay in the spirit, friend. Mighty things are going to happen tonight. Ooh, caravavoda sombrero. Did God say ask for the old paths? Everybody shout, Jesus.
Jesus.
Give us.
Jesus.
The old paths.
The old
paths.
The old
paths. Good way.
That good way.
That we find peace. We find peace. Found a new path. I've stayed on the old one. We've suffered ridicule, persecution. We've been called everything but a child of God. But we're not looking for an easy way. A new path. And if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer. But if we suffer, we're going to reign with Him. We're going to rule with Him. I just wanted to say something, Brother Allen. Down through the years that I've been in the ministry, I haven't been in the ministry only about half the time Brother Allen has, but I watched in the latter years of the healing revival, and I watched as one evangelist after another, one preacher after another, took down the sign and took down the thing that they stood for, and they compromised the position, compromised the situation in God. Now watch as they sold out to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. One after another, the went. My God, but Alan, nobody knows how long I've laid on my face and the days and the hours. I've laid on my face before God and cried and prayed and said, God, don't let them all go back. I've cried and said, God, how the mighty are fallen. How the mighty are fallen. How the great warriors and the past are gone. God, isn't there anybody left that's standing for You? Isn't there anybody left that'll walk in the old paths and hold up the bloodstained banner? Isn't there anybody anymore that'll preach the truth and stand for God no matter what anybody says? I've watched Brother Allen over the years. In 1954, he came to Riverside, California, and I'd never heard of him before. In fact, I hadn't been preaching very long. And I'll never forget, it stirred my heart and changed my life in 54. I didn't know much about him, and he was only in Riverside just 3 or 4 days. And I heard him preach almost like he preached tonight. Along the same lines, let's hold on to what we've got, and let's go on with God, and let's not pick down, and let's not turn back. And I said, God,
God, I'm not going to turn back no matter what anybody does. And you know, through the years, Brother Allen, I've watched you. In 1958, you were preaching the same kind of a gospel you were in 1954. And in that prayer meeting in Phoenix, when you asked for a place, voiced your heart's desire for a place to build for God, I was there. Nobody knew who I was. I wasn't important. I'm still not important. But I remember so plainly how Brother Allen has through the years stood and said, I'm going on with God. And you know, when God spoke to me and told me to come to here to the valley about 4 or 5 years ago, I was proud to be counted as a part of something like this. And I've been persecuted too, and I'm not talking about anything anybody said about me. It could make no difference to me. I could care less. But one thing I feel proud about, I don't mean proud, but I mean pleased. And I feel blessed to be a part of a ministry and to be able to stand up and say, I'm for Brother Allen. I'm with him 100% all the way. When the Church of God district overseer said to me, I'll blackball you, I said, brother, blackball away. Just help yourself. He said, you won't have nowhere to preach. And I said, I'll find a place. God will make it. He said, you'll starve to death. I'm not hungry tonight. I just finished the greatest year I've ever had in my ministry. Made more money last year than ever made in any 3 years put together in my ministry. I've got better clothes than I ever had, and they're paid for. I got a better car than I ever had in my life, and it's paid for. Got a better place to live than I ever had in my life, and it's paid for. Hallelujah! I've got a greater ministry than I ever thought I'd have, but only thing I'm saying this is to show you I know where God blessed me. 5 years ago, my wife and I came into a camp meeting right here in this church. We were on our way down into Old Mexico. We spent 8.5 months that year. I spent 8.5 years as a missionary down there in Central America. And we were going down there, and God spoke to my wife and I, and my wife stood right there and made a $1,000 pledge, and I stood right there and made a $100 pledge. We were on our way to Mexico, and God said, this is the source of your blessing. And I said, we'll be a part of it. We paid those pledges while we were in Mexico, 8.5 months, faith missionaries. And we've been pledging and paying them ever since. And we were in several places last year and the year before that. And they said, well, brother, if you wouldn't advertise like you do. How did I advertise? I just put Restoration Revival on my advertisement. And I just took a stand with this ministry. And they said, if you didn't associate yourself with that Allen, we'd back you. And I tell you, something stirred in my heart. And I preached to some preachers. And I said, bless God. I said, if you don't want to cooperate with me in a meeting, just because I'm cooperating with somebody that's got the greatest thing this side of heaven, and just because I believe in what God's doing, you go on and go have your own little old rinky-dink churches and your old little farms and ceremonies and rituals. I don't need you. I'll have church without you. And honey, we've had it ever since. I admire you, Brother Allen, for the stand you've taken. And I've prayed this last camp, during this camp meeting, God, do something to help us seek out what's missing. God, so many people have compromised. So many preachers don't preach against sin. And just last week, a great man of God used to be stood up and said that the little sins God don't care about. God don't care if your dress is up about here. He don't care if you're lusting, take a little drink now and then, and lie a little bit, and steal a little bit, and cheat a little bit, compromise your standard and come down to the things of the world. And I said, God, there's another one gone. There's another one gone down the drain. The devil shot him out of the saddle too. God bless you. I'm with you. Now, as far as myself is concerned personally, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. I feel that way in my heart. I don't know why that is if God has chosen me.
I don't know why. I presume we all feel this way at times. We fail God so many times. But tonight I feel so strong in God. I feel so big in Him, but just in God. If God's chosen me, then He's chosen you. We can't fail the Lord. Because He's brought us to the kingdom for just such an hour, just such a time as this. As Brother Harold preached recently, was glad he didn't live earlier. Glad that he didn't even live in the day of Jesus, or the time of the early church or the apostles. Glad he wasn't alive and wasn't born in Wesley's time, or Moody's. But I said, I'm so glad I'm alive right now. God planned it all. And God brought me on the scene for just such a time as this. And I wouldn't want to have lived at any other time. And I believe this with all my heart. God has raised us up for just such a time and an hour as this. And friend, we can't fail God now. As I said to our brethren here a moment ago, anybody, any preacher, any religious leader can have so-called church. A church service, so-called, without God. They're doing it. But you can't have revival. Holy Ghost power, signs, wonders, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, without the blessing, the power, the anointing of God. It's not a church religious service I want. I want God, 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 come down. Anybody can reach the people today. Reach some kind of people, some class of people, if they've got a voice and a place to voice it. It's not, I want to reach people with a voice, with a religious service. I want to reach the people with the gospel, the old-fashioned gospel, Holy Ghost religion. If we ever sing, give me that old-time religion, we need to sing it now. Oh, God of glory. My heart is stirred. When I come on the platform feeling like this, I've just been praying and praying and praying. I remember what Joel said. Call a solemn assembly. Lay all night in sackcloth and ashes. Howl, you ministers of my God. Lay all night in sackcloth and ashes. Cry unto the Lord. Weep between the porch and the altar. This is something that makes me solemn. Want to cry. Want to weep. There's not many of us left. If we'd compromise, there wouldn't be much light left, folks. And I want to say this. Take this down there.
And yea, I would say to thee that thou mayest not compromise, but thou mayest go on, yea, into the days and the hours of perfection. For the Lord would say to thee, even as Caleb and Joshua would call of the 12 to go into the land and spy out the land, did I not give them wisdom and knowledge? And yea, did I not give them boldness to stand in the presence of their brethren? And yea, when they turned against and said, yea, we're not able to go in and to possess, yea, I had two men that stood in the presence of the 10 and said, yea, we're well able to go over. Yea, I would say to thee, my people, yea, I have called, yea, even Caleb's and Joshua's even this night. And yea, I would say to thee, thou shalt not compromise. Yea, for the enemy may be great, but yea, my spirit is greater, saith the Lord. And yea, I have equipped thee, and yea, I have ordained thee, and yea, I have chosen. Yea, I have put one in thy midst to lead thee. yea, I would speak unto thee to hear his voice. And yea, doest thou not know that my word has declared, if thou wouldest hearken unto the voice of the prophet, surely thou should prosper. And yea, I would say unto thee, even this night thou should be led, yea, into a land that floweth with milk and honey, and surely my spirit shall flow, and thou shalt know that the hand of the Lord is not shortened, for this is the hour that I choose to lead my people, yea, into the paths that they have not known, and surely I would say unto thee, yea, thou must not look back, but yea, thou must look forward into the future, for surely the enemy cometh up against thee, but surely I have put my angels around about thee, and yea, they shall uphold thee, and surely thou shalt speak the words that shall come from the mouth of those that I have anointed, and surely it shall break the bonds of those that are in bondage, and surely my people shall be led out of captivity. For I would say unto thee, even further, even as I had of Daniel, yea, that would not bow before, yea, men, because he would not give unto their voices, yea, I have a man even this day, yea, as my three Hebrew boys would not bow to the image, yea, I would say unto thee, I have a servant that has made a declaration even this night, and yea, I would have it declared unto thee, yea, it shall be established unto thee, my work shall go forth, and yea, no man shall hinder, saith the Lord. Yea, I have equipped, and yea, I have ordained. Was it not seen in the hour that these three men were thrown into the fiery furnace that, yea, I came on the scene, and yea, it was seen by the man that declared, yea, where is the Lord God that thou speakest of? And surely I, the Lord God, was recognized in the midst, yea, as the Son of Man. And I would say unto thee, no man shall be able to hinder that thou speakest even this night. And yea, I would say to thee, my servant, go thou forth and fear not man, for yea, I am with thee.
Friend, this is God speaking. Everybody stand with me. Preachers, ministers, God has been talking to us for 3 hours. God's been speaking to us for hours tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That woman's always been there. That's not.
Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I want you to do.
Yea, I have led, yea, long, yea, years, and I have brought thee unto this place. And yea, I say unto thee, yea, in days gone past, yea, many of my servants sell their possessions and brought them, yea, and laid them at the feet of the apostles. And yea, I say unto thee, yea, this same time is returning, saith the Lord. And yea, I again am speaking unto the hearts of people, yea, that they would sell their possessions, and that thou should lay it, yea, even at the feet of the apostles. Yea, that it might build and go forth in my kingdom. For I say unto thee, yea, I say unto thee, even as I spoke unto my servants in that day, yea, if thou would believe and shalt trust the Lord, I say unto thee, thou shalt not lack. Yea, I say, even from the least even to the greatest, they shall not lack. Yea, but the Lord thy God shall do a new thing. And I say unto thee, if thou shalt believe, and if thou shalt believe my word, I say unto thee, it shall be established unto thee. For I say unto thee, yea, thou that lovest me with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, yea, I say unto thee, thou shalt sacrifice again and again, and thou shalt give again and again for my kingdom. And yea, I say unto thee, when thou shalt give all of thyself unto me, even so shall I give all of myself unto thee, saith the Lord. Yea, for the Lord thy God shall do mighty. And yea, I say unto thee, I shall take it, and I shall multiply it. Yea, even as I did multiply the fishes and the loaves. And yea, thou shalt be able to do a great work for me, saith the Lord.
Everybody just remain standing.
Oh, God.
It is
gathering this night, saith the living God. And I say unto thee, I stand within thy midst this night, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, choose you this night whom thou art going to serve. Choose you this night whom thou art going to serve, saith the living God. For I say unto thee, I have spoken unto my son in the wee hours of the morning. And I have seen his tears, and I have heard his crying, and his supplication, saith the living God. And I say unto thee, my son, greater is he that is within thee than he that is within the world, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, my son, as they held up the hands of Moses in the days of old, so have I sent thee an army, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, though many have fell along the wayside, saith the living God, I say unto thee, I have commanded the dry bones to come to life. And I say unto thee, thou shalt have a new army, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, my son, doubt not and fear not, saith the living God. For I say unto thee, I have given them the perfect love of God. And I say unto thee, they will stand to the end with thee, saith the living God. For I say unto thee, I have put my will within their heart, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to what the man has, and not according to that he has not. And therefore I say unto thee, my son, as I have given thee this will to press on, and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, so have I set forth an army, and I have given a will and a desire, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, they will go forth with thee, saith the living God. And I say unto thee, a good man steps the order to the Lord. Therefore, my son, fear not, for I this day, I have ordered their steps. I have ordered your steps, and I have ordered theirs, saith the living God. And I say unto thee, my son, I am going before thee, and I am coming behind thee, and no devil shall be able to withstand thee, saith the Lord.
Listen to me quickly now. God is wanting us to move. It's time to move with God, and it's time to move for God. And I believe God is going to bless those that take their stand tonight more than he's ever blessed you before. We're going to get out the best offering we have. You're going to write the best check you have for God tonight. And we're going to return to the old paths. We're going to lay it on Brother Allen's Bible. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. And if you're ready to stand for the old paths, bring your offering in. Lay it at the feet of the apostle on his Bible where he's preached tonight. Make a new pledge. Take one of these pledges out of his hand. Every one of you can do something special tonight. Let's come running down these aisles from both directions. Both directions, and drop your offering at his feet right here on this Bible. Lay it at the apostle's feet like they did in Bible days. Take one of these pledges. You may have already made a pledge or two. Make a new step for faith. Make a new pledge. Everybody march. Bring your gift. Bring your offering to the Lord tonight. Lay it at the feet of the apostle.